Welcome in, everybody, to the CC Podcast. It is the evening here of Wednesday, March 27th, a.k.a. PK Day, for all who celebrate. Louisville has a new men's basketball head coach. This is happening. It's not official, I guess, but we're going to find out tomorrow at 3 o'clock during a press conference that the University of Louisville has called that Pat Kelsey is going to be your new head basketball coach coming over from the College of Charleston after a successful three-year stint. This after 10 seasons at Winthrop, also a successful stint. It's been quite the 3 weeks here, but this is a day that I think the fan base has been talking about, thinking about for a long, long time. How long depends on your own personal fandom. Some people it's been like 24 months. They've been thinking about this day. Some people it's been like 12 months. Other people it's been like 4 months. Other people, it's been like a month, but we're finally here. The next chapter of Louisville basketball is upon us. We turn the page tomorrow. It's not a name. Look, we're not going to sit here on the podcast and tell anybody that we were begging for Pat Kelsey. You've listened to the podcast. You know the names that we've talked about for the last several months. You know where our preferences lay. I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way, but we're gonna break it all down here. We're gonna talk about how we got here. We're gonna talk about where we go from here. We're gonna talk about how we feel about it all. And then we'll take some questions from you guys. Before we do any of it, saying hi to Dan Sennard up there in Columbus, Ohio, Pat Kelsey territory. How are we, Dan?
It's like, believe it or not, I'm actually in Charleston, West Virginia. I don't know if that
really?
A sign of things. But with that being said, great day, great Louisville fan day, great Louisville Twitter day. My God, like so many things were just humming on the bird today.
There's some good stuff.
But yeah, I mean, you pretty much echoed my sentiment. You know, this is kind of how I figured, like, it was like we were not promised, but we thought we were going to Italy. But you know what? We're going to Florida. We're going to Panama. And I like Florida. I have a great time in Florida. Like, I mean, every time I go to Florida, I party my ass off. I think we're having a great time. So sometimes you leave the country, things get a little hairy. So maybe in the end this might work out better, but you know it's what we're doing, and it's good to see the fans. Most of them, you know, I want to say everyone, but most of them are like, you know what, you know, we're gonna give this guy a chance and try to buy in here.
Let the record show, this is two straight podcasts where in the first time that you've spoken, you've drawn a metaphor to taking a trip to Florida, I believe. Last time it was spring break, which if I'm remembering correctly, it was a story about how you didn't get to have sex on spring break in college. I think that's where that metaphor went. And then this time it was a trip to
Florida. No, I swear to God. Florida. So tonight I grabbed dinner. I'm at the bar. And
You're at the bar right now?
No. This was like a couple hours ago. So I was like, this is going to be too corny to say on the podcast, but I swear to God, it was right after I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. Right after I sent you guys the picture, it said first beer after Pat Kelsey was hired. So I sent that, and then I swear to God, the song Don't Look Back in Anger came on. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to look back in anger. It's time to move on. So this is where I'm at with my life. I'm picking up signs from everywhere. So we are going to move on.
Dusty can wait. He knows it's too late. Oh, Josh Shirt's walking out the door. Let's say real quickly, before we hone in on Pat Kelsey, if we talked about how we got to this place, it would be like, that's an entirely different podcast. It's like a 2.5 hour episode. But let's real quickly, I think here's this is the quick and dirty version of how we ended up here. One, Josh Hurd prioritizes Scott Drew, right? No question about it. Let's everybody know this is my top choice. We're swinging big. You tell me to go for a home run. I'm going for a home run. Two, I think he grooms a couple of backup options in Dusty May and Josh Shirts. They're kind of like his B and C in some order. So goes after Scott Drew, gets rebuffed, makes sure that the backup options are still looking good, sees that the door is still a little bit open, goes back to Scott Drew, makes one final gigantic pitch, officially gets turned down. So then looks at the backup options. I think he prioritized Dusty May mainly because Josh Schertz didn't make the NCAA tournament and he felt like it was an easier sell to the fan base. Everything that I've heard for the past like 2 months has said like Josh really likes Josh Schertz. I think in his heart of hearts, like Josh Schertz was his top candidate. I think he was the guy that he saw himself hiring. And I think he wanted to go with his gut, but then Indiana State doesn't make the NCAA tournament. And all of a sudden it's, hey, can we really hire a guy who's never coached in the NCAA tournament at a place like Louisville? And so Dusty May, been to a Final Four, back in the tournament this year, seems like, you know, he's got competition from bigger schools, seems like the safer bet and the easier sell. And so it's going to be Dusty May. Josh Schertz finds this out. He and Dusty May, we found out in recent weeks, are very tight. They have this discussion about, hey, what jobs are you going to take? What jobs are you looking at? Josh Schertz goes thinking that he's out entirely of the Louisville race. And then I think he said publicly a couple of days ago, he found out that he wasn't in the top four for the Vanderbilt job. So he's like, well, fuck, like, there's no other option for me. I'm going to go to St. Louis. St. Louis realizing maybe that he's more of a commodity than he thinks, and that there's more of a possibility that he goes and ends up with a bigger job if some sequence of events happens. They have him sign this memorandum of understanding, which, again, is kind of an under-the-table agreement that whenever your season is over, I think 2 days after that, you will be our head coach. And there's reportedly a large chunk of change that it will cost to break this MOU. I've heard $4.1 million is the number that's out there. So we think we're getting Dusty May. Josh Schertz thinks Dusty May is going to Louisville. I think for a brief period, Dusty May thinks he's going to Louisville. We get a hard left turn from Dusty May. He's out. He's going to Michigan. So then Josh Hurd comes in and is like, all right, Josh Schertz, you're up. And Josh Schertz is like, well, some stuff has happened since the last time. This was information I could have used a week ago that I was, you know, going to get this job or have an opportunity. I don't know what to do now. Can you help me out of this? I think Louisville worked for a couple of days to try and figure out if this was something that they could do. I think Josh Schertz was like, if you can pony up like this amount of money, I might be able to handle the rest, or we can take it out of my contract. I think they tried to make something happen. Ultimately, it didn't work out. And so you go to option four, which wound up being Pat Kelsey. Pat Kelsey was that name that was just always kind of there. And it seemed like every time he was like next man up, a new candidate emerged. You know, Richard Pitino comes out of nowhere a couple of days ago and emerges as a candidate. And my understanding at that time, which I think I said on this podcast or the spaces that we turned into a podcast, was it's Josh Schertz's job if he wants it. And then it's Pat Kelsey or Richard Pitino. I heard from the Pitino clan this morning, this Wednesday morning, Richard was never offered the job. So, you know, Richard had a Zoom interview, spoke with Josh Hurd for about an hour. I think they talked over the weekend as well. He's kind of wondering, as of last night, what Josh is going to say to him, what's going to happen. Their initial understanding was they've got a shot if Indiana State's coach doesn't take the job, didn't take the job. So they're like, okay, what's up next? He finds out this morning that the job's going to somebody else. So he makes the announcement, I'm no longer in the running for the job. And that was that. And I kind of, people are asking like what the deal with the Richard interest was. And I can't tell you for certain, but it definitely screams of, hey, some people around Josh Hurd that have influence and that have money, they were like, they wanted him to at least talk to Richard. They wanted him to have that conversation. And Josh did it, I think, sort of as a favor to those people, like, okay, I'm going to do what you say, but ultimately my decision is going to be my decision. I think it was the same thing with the Will Wade deal, where people close to him said, hey man, why don't you talk to Will Wade? Let's reconsider this. And he talked to Will Wade's agent on Sunday. And then Monday morning, he's like, nope, still not an option. So I think that Josh was probably in both of those instances, just doing what he thought he needed to do to keep some people happy. But this was always going to be his hire. It was always a relatively short list. Pat Kelsey was always on that list. And when the other three guys were out, it became Pat Kelsey. So not exactly like a romantic comedy storyline, not exactly the most, you know, if this thing works out 5 years from now, Josh Hurd's not going to be able to thump his chest and be like, I fucking knew it. I told you guys, like, I always knew he was my number one. We all kind of know that he was down the list. At the very best, he was fourth on the list. That doesn't mean that this can't be successful. That doesn't mean that this can't work. But I understand the initial reaction of the fan base, which is, like, oh my God, we're Louisville. We couldn't get the FAU coach. We couldn't get the Indiana State coach. We couldn't get the Baylor coach. And now we're left with a Charleston coach, a guy who's never won a game in the NCAA tournament, a guy who we don't know if he's going to be able to hack it at this level. All of that stuff. Let me just ask you, Dan, not your stance now, but your initial reaction when you found out today that like this was going to happen, that it was going to be Pat Kelsey.
My initial reaction was this could have been a lot easier. To me, yes. I mean, Scott Drew is one thing. I mean, you're really swinging for the fences there, and I'm glad we did. He said no. I mean, obviously Dusty May made a Final Four with Florida Atlantic, so I guess you could maybe put him like as far as like perception wise, obviously maybe a little bit ahead of like a Pat Kelsey and a Josh Schertz, but like to me, those three are almost kind of grouped together. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you just would have made Kelsey the guy right after Scott Drew, like we wouldn't have had this issue. I don't know. I guess my frustration is just that kind of how everything, and again, it wasn't coming from U of L, but you know, when it's out there that you keep getting turned down, and whether it, and you explained it perfectly, but like people nationally, you know, they don't read deep into it like, oh, Josh Schertz already signed a memorandum with St. Louis and he's going to pay. All they see is, you know, St. Louis coach or St. Louis is hiring Josh Schertz and he turned down Louisville. Like that's right. What they see from a national perspective. So, you know, I'm glad that it's over with. I won't lie to you though. When we were kicking the tires on Richard, I mean, I fell for it. I was like, man, I think this would be awesome. But like, you know, now that kind of we have our hire in place, and it just seems like there's so many videos and so much info now, like, you know, probably, you know, bad on my part. I didn't do super due diligence on Pat Kelsey, but now that I've got to like kind of dive deep into this guy, I mean, I really think I'm going to like this guy. Yes, he's got to win, obviously, you know, and I'm sure we'll get into it from like an X's and O's and Jimmy's and Joe's standpoint, you know, down the line. But from what we need from a leader and like a basketball coach, I think Josh Hurd hit the nail on the head. Like we needed the polar opposite of Kenny Payne. And out of all the candidates, I think he fits that the best. And I think that's why it'll resonate with the fan base maybe more than like a Josh Schertz would have initially.
I think your like progression today is, and again, like this is just me outsider's perspective. Like, I'm not speaking for all fans. But I, you know, I've observed a lot of Louisville fans go through this progression on social media today. They were going through it on the text line on the radio show today. I think like when Pat Kelsey gets announced as the guy, especially after dangling Richard Pitino, which it seemed like a majority of the fan base was in favor of. I mean, I got excited just as somebody who personally really likes Richard and really likes the Pitino family. Like I was like, okay, like this could be fun. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes out that it's Pat Kelsey, like the initial reaction from everybody's like, oh, I'm going to kill myself. Like it was just like everybody was like walking in line to the Second Street Bridge, like just like, oh my God, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to us. And then, like you said, I think more people started to look at the videos that are out there. More people started to, you know, hear the national people that have followed him, what they had to say, which a lot of it is really, really glowing. And it became, it's not like anybody is, you know, holding a parade for him tomorrow. It's not like anybody is guaranteeing that we're going to win the national championship in the next 3 years. But I do think we've made the progression from like, this is the worst thing ever to, okay, I'm cautiously optimistic. Like there's a very real chance that this can work. And that was like, you know, my first, like when I see the world burning down after the announcement's made or the announcement gets out there, like the first thing I posted was that meme of the guy who's being like, everyone's surrounding him and like trying to let him talk, like the Asian politician. And yeah. I'm just like, this could work. Like, I'm just like, that's my opinion. I'm like, there's no guarantee, but there also wasn't a guarantee with the other guys that we were talking about. Like, right. I don't think that there's, like you said, when it comes down to Schertz and May and Hurd, not her, Schertz and May and Kelsey, they're all sort of the same type of guess. They all have like this about the same number of boxes that they check in the boxes that they don't check. And like I'm losing Dusty May and then losing Josh Schertz. It was embarrassing. We're going to use the word again that we used a bunch the other night. The optics of it were really bad. And if we were on the outside looking in, if we were one of these other programs, we would be pointing and laughing too. Like, oh my God, how far is Louisville? Can you really call this a top 10 job? Dan Wolken quote tweeted me with that. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I want to die right now.
He also had a tweet today bashing Louisville, like the city, but whatever. That's another story.
Can we really call this a top 10 job if these are the end? I was like, I want Pat Kelsey to win so badly.
I tell you something that is also going to be enjoyable about this hire compared to like maybe a Scott Drew or a Dusty May? Like, we're not going to set these wild expectations right off the bat. Like, and we shouldn't have done it with Kenny. It was totally unfair to him. But when we hired Kenny, we're like, we're back, baby. Like, Final Four, top two recruiting class. Like, we're back.
I don't think anybody – stop right there. I don't think – like, that's a narrative that Kenny Payne supporters wanted to paint. I never saw anybody saying that. I never, the
man,
only people who did.
I don't know. I mean, like, maybe
were
just
saying
a
that.
Fact
No. The only people who were saying that are the people who were claiming that everybody else was saying that. I think everybody was sort of the belief that this is going to be a slow process. Like, I was like, let's just be 500 in year one. I think a lot of people said that. Like, I think one of the biggest misnomers is that everybody was like, he's got to go to the Final Four right away. That was never the expectation. I think that's what Kenny Payne said. So,
well, regardless, I mean, I don't think – I think everyone knows with this guy that it's like, all right, he's coming from, you know, Winthrop and College of Charleston. So, like, they're not going to just, you know, set expectations through the roof. But, I mean, obviously, you know, I think as fans, as someone, you know, as a fan base who's desperate for winning, I think it's going to be important for him to get off to, you know, a good start. I saw your tweet today, like, we need to hire, or, you know, schedule the absolute worst, you know, scrimmage game of all time, or our exhibition game in game one, which is 100% true. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's, like you said, cautiously optimistic, I think, might be a good tone with this fan base right now.
Things to like about Pat Kelsey, we can get into like the pros and the cons here a little bit. I think the pro, like if you've seen any of these videos, like the energy is unreal. You know, he just exudes energy like constantly, bouncing all over the place, like yelling and screaming, like going crazy on the sidelines. I think Jeff Goodman put it out there today that he's like he's got insane energy. I've never seen anybody like this. And I've talked with multiple people that have coached with him at various stops, and they've all said the same thing. Like, it's not just for the cameras. It's not a showy thing. Like, that's who he is. He's on constantly. And that's always a good thing for a new coach. It's especially a good thing when, I mean, I'm not sure if we thought our coaches were awake half the time for the last 2 years. I mean, you watch Pat Kelsey, he's going nuts after every made basket. Doesn't matter if they're up 30, if they're down 30. And, you know, for the last 2 years, we've been like, is anybody going to do anything over there? Like, we're down 27 to Virginia Tech. Does somebody want to call
timeout?
Like,
Danny Manning's ass imprint is forever on that bench chair. Do we need to replace the chair?
Can I get someone to stand up? Chattanooga just dunked for the 14th possession in a row.
Yeah.
Somebody call a timeout, for the love of God. Like, so that's going to be a welcome change. Like, it's going to be very, very nice. I think that jolt of energy also is going to hit the fan base more than they're expecting, just because we're so used to the opposite now. Even the last couple of years, like, you know, Mac was more laid back towards the end, I think, when he was getting pissed off. And Mike Pegues, you know, he had his way about him, which I liked, but he wasn't going to be like at least in the press conferences or the media. He wasn't going to be a yell and hoot and holler and scream and go over the top. And I think Pat Kelsey will be that way. And I think he's going, like, tomorrow, the introductory press conference, I think it's a layup for him. You know, just bring that same energy, be yourself, tell us the things that we want to hear, honestly. Like, you know, if I'm him, if I'm Josh Hurd or whoever's advising him for this, I'm like, dude, if you can find a way to emphasize the fact that we've won three national titles or whatever, you know, a program that's won three national championships, like, give us, like, place goes nuts. Like, brawls are being thrown on the stage. Like, dudes are taking their shirts. Like, just tell us what we want to hear. Tell us you're going to get us back. Even if you don't 100% believe it, like, lie to us. Say, like, I'm going to turn this thing around really quickly. Just do it. And we'll go nuts. No, and go ahead.
No, what I was going to say, I mean, from like everything you see with this guy, like he just reminds me of like someone that's going to be like who we wanted a coach to be. He's going to be at every women's basketball game. He's going to be at the baseball games. Like he's going to be like Bruce Pearl with his shirt off in like the student section. Like, and like you said, it's such a welcome change. Whereas like, I mean, God, love the Brahms. They're at every game. You know, we see these other coaches that are interacting, but you know, the move in silence from Kenny and all that stuff. And he was never visible, you know, wasn't that great with, well, not wasn't that great. He was awful with the media. So that part of it, incredible. It's going to be a huge welcome change. By the way,
Brahm and Kelsey at Catholic picnics this summer. Oh my God. Oh, cleaning up.
Yeah. Shout out Logan Wade. I saw his tweet.
It was a great tweet.
Did. It was so good. But yeah, by the way, it's like Pat Kelsey, elder grad. So all my, not only my dad, but like all my cousins, aunt, or my, all my cousins and uncles went to Elder. And Pat Kelsey, I know he only went there for 1 year, but like he has the exact sort of like brashness and bravado that like all my cousins have, which is like hilarious. They're like all the exact same people. But no,
I love the fact that we're talking about like your, so I mean, you went to Trinity. We both went to Trinity. Like your alma mater, our head football coach went to. Your dad's alma mater, our head basketball coach went to. Like that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean it's wild. So yeah, so funny story. So there's a, it's called a Elder Stag. It's kind of like a men's club. I went to it a couple years ago with my dad, and Eric Wood was the actually the guest speaker. Scott Satterfield showed up, but Wood was the guest speaker, and he totally killed it. It was a fun night.
It took Wood about 30 seconds today, by the way, to slide in the text message and be like, I know Pat Kelsey. He's like, I was like, I was waiting for this. Here we go. Elder boys unite.
That's awesome. But my dad in January was like, hey, do you want to go to the Elder Stag this year? And like, we have such a busy schedule coming with like all my kids' sports. I was like, when is it? He was like, it's in April. And I was like, ah, I don't know what my schedule is going to look like. I'm like, who's the guest speaker? He's like, Pat Kelsey. I was like, yeah, not really moving the needle for me. I was like, I don't think I'm going to go. So anyways, my brother and my dad got tickets, and now they're like, hey, Dan, it's like, sorry you didn't get a ticket. But no, that should be pretty cool that he's speaking there. But yeah, it is a pretty neat deal, like you said, that we kind of have some ties here.
I mean, also, another basketball coach who's a Reds fan, that helps out. Yeah. Opening day tomorrow and Pat Kelsey.
I was gonna say great vibes tomorrow, like 3 o'clock press conference, 4 o'clock opening day. It has a chance to be a special day.
It's like Frankie Montas has thrown out his arm during warm-ups.
Yeah, I mean the Matt McClain shoulder news would be like in the morning. I was like, this day's got to improve. So
if we finish like fourth in the Central before basketball season starts, I'll be like, this guy's not the guy.
We got
to get rid of him.
Do something.
It's not gonna work. But no, the energy thing is the big thing. Any of these videos that you've seen, the videos of him with like the students, the videos of him with his players at practice, like all of that stuff. I think that's a gigantic positive. Two, I think just having a guy who like, we know can do this, right? Like coach, and when I say this, I mean, coach basketball. He's had one losing season in his entire career as a head coach. It was his very first season at Winthrop. He won 4 Big South titles at Winthrop. They dominated that conference while he was there. He then goes to Charleston. They've won 2 conference championships in the last 3 years, made the NCAA tournament both those years. They were incredibly good 2 years ago when they were a 12 seed. They got beat by San Diego State in the first round in a very competitive game. And that was an SDSU team that, of course, went on to go play for the national title. So I think that all of our concerns that we had with Kenny Payne, where it was like, you know, the first press conference that he had, Brett Dawson, the very first question is like, tell us about your style. Like, what do you like to do schematically? And he's like, well, I don't really want to answer that now. We'll get to that. We got plenty of time to talk about that.
God, there were so many signs we missed. Jeez.
He just didn't talk about it for 2 years. So yeah. Like, there's no question about that. There's no concern about that with Pat Kelsey. We know the type of stuff that he likes to run, which we can talk about a little bit later. And like, there's comfort in that for sure. I like that. I like the fact that he's going to like be a guy who kind of motherfucks the other coaches in this league.
Yep.
Like, he's going to get into it with, like, there was a clip that came out today where like he's getting into it with Dusty May and FAU players when they played during the press, which, by the way, I was like, is Dusty May like our biggest rival now? Is Michigan Louisville this hot rival? Like, I'm praying for the Dusty May downfall at this point. And he's done nothing technically wrong, but I'm like, fuck this guy. I don't like his face. He's too big of a bitch for this program.
Oh, I love the clip, but I mean, you're right. I don't know. Like, I think that's like one of the things, like, as much as I hate losing, I hate being like the bitch, like, more as we've been like the past like 5 years. Like, I'm like, God damn, like, that, this just isn't right. Like, we need to be the ones taking the fight. And with him, it just seems like that's going to happen every single game with what you see from him on the sideline. So, again,
he will not be laughing and bro hugging it up if we lose by 18 against Boston College this year.
No. And like, that's a good feeling. Our fan base is just going to eat that shit up. But again, like, you know, And the one comforting thing that I heard today, and again, you have to take this with a grain of salt because, you know, when Chris Mack got hired, I mean, he was the media darling. Everyone's like, what a home run, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Like, Chris Mack wasn't bad. It just, for whatever reason, you know, the last year or two, things kind of went south very quickly after COVID. And, you know, that it just ended very badly. But I don't want to say Chris Mack was bad, but I mean, like, after, you know, all the media is like, perfect hire. But with Kelsey, the thing I found comforting is they're like, man, this guy will be able to maneuver with NIL like flawlessly, which, like, that is very comforting. Like, he seems like he's with the times. He knows what's going on in that retrospect. So that's what I'm very interested in is, like, you know, how is he going to be able to use these resources that he did not have at Winthrop or College of Charleston?
For sure. I mean, this is something we talked about pretty consistently on the pod since the coaching search became a real thing. With all these guys that we were considering that were having to take a jump up when it comes to just like the tiers of college basketball, their ability to properly utilize NIL and deal with the transfer portal is a total unknown, right? Like it's one thing to do it at Charleston or FAU or Indiana State. It's totally different to try and navigate those waters at Louisville. So it's a guess, and it's why I kind of keep going back, like, yeah, the optics of losing Dusty May and Josh Schertz look bad, but at the end of the day, we've got no idea if those guys are that much better or worse than Pat Kelsey. We just don't know. Like, Dusty May suck at Michigan. He may be the best thing that's ever happened. Same thing with Josh Schertz. None of us know, and a large part of that is because we don't know how they're going to do in this new era of college basketball. Having said that, like you said, one of the good things about Pat Kelsey is he's done, by all accounts, the best job at that level with NIL and the transfer portal in this limited sample size that we've got. So College of Charleston, for the last few years, their AD has done this bold thing where he's like, we want to be the Gonzaga of the East Coast. Like, we want to become a national powerhouse. And they put a lot of money into the program. And I mean, Charleston's it's a rich city with a rich alumni base. So they've got more money than most schools you're going to see in the Coastal Athletic Conference. So they beefed up their NIL. They were able to go out there and get guys in the transfer portal. And if you look at the players that Kelsey and his staff have gone out and got out of the transfer portal, they've rarely missed in the past 3 years. Having said that, the guys that they've brought in have been some D2 guys, some lower level D1 prospects, or guys that have been power conference players who just weren't getting any run at their schools. They went and they found guys that were perfect fits for their program. And that's great. At this level, it kind of has to be more of the, I'm going out there and I'm getting the top tier talent that's out there.
Right.
And then I'm making them fit in with our system. And how well he's able to do that, I think, is still yet to be seen. It's a total guess in all this, but the fact that he does have some experience with this, I think he'll be good at fundraising. I think he'll be good at utilizing that. And I think he's one of those guys that just, like, he's going to live this job 365 days a year, which is something that you have to be able to do in this day and age, especially at a place like Louisville. Like, I think like he fucking hates losing. And that's so refreshing because I'm sure Kenny Payne didn't like losing, but he sure as shit didn't show us that he didn't like losing. Like, you never got that guarantee. I watched every game feeling like I cared more than the staff and then some of the players. And that's, it's embarrassing. It makes you feel bad. Like, there will never be any doubt that Pat Kelsey's putting in the hours, that he's putting in the work, and that he's doing everything that he humanly can to make sure that Louisville is winning far, far more than it has the last 3 years. And I love that. That's really cool.
Like, so we're these are a lot of pros, and like, obviously, I mean, I want to keep it mostly pro tonight, but like, let's discuss maybe our reservations. And I think the one that sticks out the most is probably going to be defensive efficiency. I think that probably has people the most worried. And then for me, again, he's coaching Winthrop in college at Charleston, so I'm not going to get too wrapped up in it, you know, but 0-4 in the NCAA tournament, his power five record, not very good. So I don't know where you stand on that, but obviously I think that's where people are going to look to say, okay, you know, what's the game plan for, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
For sure. I mean, I think those are exactly the two biggest things that people are concerned about, and they're legitimate concerns. I'm concerned about them. The defense thing, first of all, let's start with this, because everyone's like, oh, he's a Chris Mack guy. It's pack line defense. One, like, I've been told by people who know him really well, they're like, make no bones about it. Like, he's not a Chris Mack guy. He's a Skip Prosser guy. Like, he was there at Wake Forest with Prosser, with Gaudio, with Mack. He went with Mack to Xavier. And then I don't know. I don't think either one of them will ever get into this, but he left Xavier in 2011 and took a year off basketball, and nobody's ever told me exactly what it was. I think, you know, he said like personal reasons, but there was something, some problem there with between he and Mack. Like, there was something there that just wasn't working. And so he's, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, they're bros, they're mentors. I'm not sure Chris Mack is going to be like giving a ringing endorsement to Pat Kelsey. I think that there's, you know, maybe they've mended fences or something, but there was something there where it's like, he's not really like, he and Mack are similar in some ways, but definitely there are stark contrasts. And defensively is one of those ways. Like, they don't really play the pack line at Charleston. They haven't. He used the pack line, the basic pack line, the principles, in his first few years at Winthrop, and then kind of evolved as time went on. And if you watch any Charleston game, like, you'll see, you know, the pack line quite literally is this imaginary line that's right behind the 3-point line that when you play this defense, you're never supposed to go past. And Charleston is constantly putting pressure on the ball at the point of attack. Like,
which is welcoming, by the way. I know, yes. Like, the numbers are, they are and what they are, but my God, I need ball pressure.
They pressure the ball constantly. They hard show on like high ball screens where they're like both the guy defending the screener and the guy defending the ball handler will sort of like rush forward to try to get the ball handler moving backwards. And then you have to rely on help if he's going to throw the pass to the roller. So lots of ball pressure. They're extending past the 3-point line a lot. So it doesn't look anything like a pack line. They kind of, they'll use some of the principles when it comes to like doubling the post and the way that they rotate. But this is all a long-winded way of saying it's not pack line defense. Having said that, it's not been good more times than not when it comes to Pat Kelsey's defenses. The one big exception was last year, which was his best team that he's ever coached, to Charleston, the one that went 31-4 and lost to San Diego State. It's the only time he's been top 70 in adjusted defensive efficiency as a head coach. All of his other teams have been, I think he said one other team in the top 100. All of his other teams have been triple digits. This year's team, 179th in adjusted defensive efficiency. The offense is great. The offense has been, he runs some really good stuff. They play at a breakneck pace. They were 51st this season in tempo. They take a ton of threes. Have you seen the shot chart from the tournament game against Bama?
It's got like a Nate Oates feel to it. Well, like they both,
because he's playing Nate Oates. So both sides have the exact same shot chart where it's all threes, all layups, which I like. I think that's modern basketball. It makes perfect sense. The days of seeing Louisville players take, you know, 22-foot, 2-point shots are probably coming to an end, which I could not be more happy about. But the defense has to get better. And I think the hope is that, look, if you look at his Charleston teams and certainly his Winthrop teams, the system's great. There's been a consistent lack of athletes. And when they've gone up against more athletic teams, like even in their own conference, it's shown. And it's been the one knock on him. Like, he's going to have to get more athletic players at a place like Louisville for this to work at a level like the ACC. And you have to assume he will, but there's no, like, you know, I think the issue is, can he have the same type of success with those types of players as he's had with his system players at Charleston and Winthrop? Can that work at a level like Louisville? The other thing that they do that's probably going to have to change now is they do this, like, jailbreak where all five guys swarm the offensive glass to try and get a ton of offensive rebounds. And they're a great offensive rebounding team, and they're a great defensive rebounding team. They're also one of the worst transition defense of teams in all of college basketball every year, all of Kelsey's teams. It's because he sends five guys to the glass and doesn't get anybody back. And you can do that in the CAA or the Big South.
Right.
I don't think you could. You can't get away with that in the ACC.
Oh, no. ACC is, I mean, it's way too athletic to be able to do. I mean, guys will get down the court so quickly that, I mean, we'll pay for that dearly.
So I think it's going to be a situation where either somebody has to come to him and say, like, hey, man, I know this has worked for you for a long time. This specific thing, this specific part of your overall mentality is just, like, that's going to have to change a little bit. Or he's going to be stubborn and he'll find out for himself that, like, hey, this is something that I've got to change. And Kelsey seems like a really smart dude. He also seems like somebody who's not resistant to change. So I think either one of those things will happen. I think the lack of success against power conference teams and in the NCAA tournament goes hand in hand with the lack of athleticism. You know, they've been relatively competitive in their NCAA tournament games. You know, Bama beat them pretty bad this year. The final score was like 13, but it was worse than that. Bama was up big the entire game. It was never really close. And Bama can do that to teams. Like, they, you know, every now and then they're just going to pull out one of those ass kickings where they drop 115 points on you. The San Diego State game last year was very close. They played very well, and they almost beat a team that wound up playing for the national title. In his last season at Winthrop, it was the weird COVID-affected season. They played Nova in a 12-13 game. That was a pretty competitive game. Nova pulled away late. They ended up winning by 10. And then his only other tournament appearance was in 2017. It was another 13-4 game. They played Butler. Butler kind of controlled it from start to finish and won by 12. So you're seeing, like, he's had the same types of performances against these power conference teams in the tournament besides the SDSU game last year in all four appearances. Now, they've been more competitive against some of the power conference teams they played in recent years. They played Carolina, I want to say this year. Is that right? Or last year, and lost to them by 16, but it was kind of close. They beat a couple of okay teams. They beat Virginia Tech last year. That's who I'm thinking of. I knew they beat an ACC team. That was a big win for them, although that BT team ended up being not great. This year they played FAU. They lost by 16. They led it at the half, kind of fell asleep late. They lost to Duquesne pretty handily, who made the NCAA tournament this year. And then Wyoming was the other, they beat St. Joe's, who almost beat Kentucky. So it's not a great record. I think he's 2-19 in quad one opportunities as a head coach, which is bad.
Yeah.
But the hope has to be that, hey, when you get athletes here, it'll change the way you play, and that will all take care of itself. But to act like it's not a concern would be misleading. Like, I'm certainly concerned about that, for sure.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, all right, like, how much of his own staff is he going to bring over? Is he going to take a big swing with, you know, maybe a staff, you know, a guy out there that maybe is more defensive-minded? Is he going to, you know, hire A-plus recruiter on his staff? I mean, after our staff last time, I think a lot of people are looking for more basketball-oriented assistants, but at the same time, you know, you kind of want a mix of both. So I'm interested to see who he brings along. I saw, like, half the team has already put their name in the transfer portal, including the little lefty Australian guy who shoots the lights out. I don't have his name off the top of my head.
Rain Smith, I think.
Yeah. So that's possibly something else that comes into play, as, you know, who or if any of his players are coming along. So a lot to play out here in the next couple weeks or, you know, month or so.
Yeah, as far as staff, I mean, his staff, I don't know. Michael Cassidy is the only guy that I kind of have background on. He basically has two young guys and one older guy, the Brian Kloman, who is his sort of right-hand man there. I don't know. Like, I don't think he's going to bring all three of those full-time assistants there, but I'd be willing to bet that he brings at least two. and then tries to go out there and get a veteran guy that is more of a splashy hire to join the staff. And then we'll see what the support staff looks like. Maybe he tries to keep some U of L guys on. Peyton Siva would be a guy that would, hey, that's a nice little, not only does Peyton know what he's doing, because Peyton's awesome, but the fan base would love it. Maybe something like that. But I think you'll have to see him hire one of his three full-time assistants, being somebody who's just kind of like a splashy outside hire. I do think that you'll see, I think five of his players entered the portal today, which was a clear-cut sign that something was up. I think that you'll see at least a couple of those guys come and join the team. And I'm fine with that. Like, it's, you know, we're not going to rely as heavily on them here, I would think, as he did last year at Charleston, but they could all play. Like, Charleston would have kicked our ass last year. Like, let's be honest about it. Like, those players, they can play. They know the system. I think it helps with the continuity of, you know, teaching the new guys, at least having somebody that Kelsey can rely on to sort of tell him, you know, this is what I think is resonating with the players in practice. This is what I think they're still struggling with. Like, I would like to see him take some of those guys and join the team this year, because, you know, I'm not sure we're going to keep anybody from last year's team. There's only three guys who aren't in the portal. I think it's Tylar Johnson, Danilo Jovanovic, and Emmanuel Okorafor. I'd be fine with one of those players staying around. Right.
Yeah.
You can choose who it is, but we're probably going to, and look, just because they're in the portal doesn't mean that everybody's leaving. If Kelsey wants to re-recruit some of those guys, I'm sure he'll have an opportunity and maybe they'll want to come play for him, but we are going to be a transfer portal heavy team, and having some of his old guys from Charleston, I think, will help in that process of just kind of getting the ball rolling here in year one. I'm trying to think of what else there is that we can talk about. I feel like there were other things that I wanted to say, and now I'm kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I, to me, it'll be interesting. Like you said, I know we only have a couple players left, and I think we could all name the one where I think maybe fans are somewhat holding out hope. So it'll be interesting to see if something happens there. And you know, he's able to sell that player to come back or not, but
or if he wants him, who knows?
Yeah, I know, that's the thing. Who knows? It might not even be a fit for the system. So, yeah, but you know, I think tomorrow's gonna be an awesome day. Like, I'm very excited. I think he's gonna absolutely kill the press conference. I'm interested in our boy Josh to see what he has to say. I mean, I think I know what he's gonna say. Like, you know, it's basically just gonna be like, this is the guy we wanted, and you know, I don't expect him to dive too deep into the ins and outs of his search.
I mean, he's gonna have to play it like he's not gonna be able to do that, where it's like, I knew all along that Pat Kelsey was the guy.
Yeah.
It's like everybody knows that that's not the case. So he's going to have to phrase it a little bit differently, but he's gonna talk. Kim Schatzel's gonna talk, and then Pat Kelsey will talk. The other thing, and we have a couple of questions from Twitter. We actually have like a billion questions from Twitter, but we're only going to take a few. The one thing that I want to touch on, like, I got a number of texts from people today that, you know, worked with Pat, that know Pat. Like, there are people that I haven't talked to in a while who are like, I've known Pat for 20 years. I'm like, how does everybody fucking know Pat Kelsey? But there was one from somebody who is a current coach in college basketball and worked with Pat back in the day. And they said, and I have to cut part of the text out because it's like taking a shot at somebody that I don't want out there. But he said, I hope your people give Pat a chance. He's a really, really good basketball coach, a legitimately really good person, incredibly hard worker. He's the best assistant that I've ever worked with. And everyone immediately was like, oh, you got that from Chris Mack. I'm like, not Mack, not Gaudio. It was not anybody from, from that Louisville staff, but it is somebody that knows him really well. And that still is an assistant. so like, all the talk that's out there from basketball folks is kind of like that. Like you're going to like him. He works his ass off. It's all you can ask for. He's a great basketball mind and a really good dude. And I think all the clips that Louisville fans have gone out there and unearthed from the past few years sort of back that up. And it, like, there's no guarantee that this is going to work. I'm not doing this. You know, people are like, oh, you're shilling for U of L. You're telling people that want to hear. No, like, doing like the podcast, the radio show, and the website, I'm still like a fan first, right? I'm trying to sell myself on this guy. Like, I want this to work. I'm not oblivious to the downside of this or the potential for failure that comes with hiring a guy like Pat Kelsey. There's no guarantee that this is going to work. There's no guarantee that a guy who's been successful at two mid-major programs is going to come to one of the seven best college basketball programs of all time and just kill it when the program is in sort of a deep hole. But for the first time in a couple of years, Like, I've got genuine hope. I find myself getting excited because, like, this time last year, I felt like I knew it wasn't going to be successful. I felt like 2023-24 was just going to be killing time until we finally got to whatever was next. Like, we didn't have a full roster at that point. I still felt like I've seen enough. The guy won 4 games last year. This isn't going to work. I've got no hope for the upcoming season. With Pat Kelsey, I'm not certain by any stretch of the imagination that he's going to be Denny Crum or Rick Pitino or even close to those guys, but I've got some hope that this can work. And that makes me excited. You know, the first step is just getting back to being normal. And I think there's a very real chance that a guy who won at as high of a level as he's won at in his previous two stops can get the type of talent right away to, like, make us normal, to make us a competitive basketball program in year one. And for now, that's good enough. And if he can show us that right off the bat, like he's not a guy who's going to have the Jeff Brohm effect when it comes to season ticket sales. You know, I've seen people who are like, I'm not getting the tickets that I was thinking about. Well, that's fine. But if he wins, we're all going to come back anyway.
Yep.
Like, there's not going to be this gigantic influx where it's 20K in their seats 15 minutes before tip-off for our first home game next year. But if he starts off like 9-2, 10-1, couple big wins in Atlantis, people are going to start showing up again. People are going to, and I do think that his personality, especially if we're winning, is going to be infectious. People are going to resonate with that. People are going to feed off of that. I think there's a possibility for sure that this is going to wind up being a good thing. And I did not think that 2 years ago. I didn't think that a year ago. At the end of the Chris Mack tenure, it certainly felt kind of hopeless. You know, you could tell that his heart wasn't in it anymore and we were going in the wrong direction. But for the first time in a long time, I think there's at least something you can point to and say, I've got some hope that we can have some life in this program, which is good.
I have the exact same sentiment. And here's one thing I'll end on. And you were kind of touching on it. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm trying to talk myself into this. All right. But if he wins, like, it won't be just like fun for the fans. Like, it's going to be super fun because we haven't had a rah-rah coach. Like, even in our successes, like, Denny was very stoic. Rick was like all business. You know, Chris Mack, I like Chris, but, you know, he had his own kind of quirky personality. Like, this is like a rah-rah, like, get involved with the fans type guy. So if he starts winning, like, it's going to be like a whole different level of fun that I don't think the Louisville fans have, like, you know, kind of had that type of fun before with their head coach. So I really hope it happens.
Podcast guarantee here. You ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Let's say, all right, if Pat Kelsey makes the Elite Eight in year one, we're both getting tribal tattoos.
Jeez.
He's got the tribal tattoo on his right arm. It's happening.
Hold on. So what? It's like a couple beers deep here before I agree to anything. So what does he have to do? He has to what in year one?
Elite Eight.
I mean, that's no.
Elite. Should we go Final Four? Final Four?
Final Four.
Okay.
All right, we'll do Final Four.
We'll get matching tribal tattoos.
Yeah, and it could be any size, and mine will be minuscule.
We'll get the exact one that he has on his right arm. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that'll be to be determined. But I mean, obviously, very excited. But with NIL transfer portal, like, makes me a little nervous to make that bet. But I'm excited.
Let's take a couple of questions from Twitter real quickly. Zach says, who wins in a fight, Kelsey or Brohm? Oh, this is actually Kelsey or Brohm. I mean, Kelsey, I think, dude, is a little bit younger. Brohm's
Jeff
bigger.
Jeff is just jacked. Have you seen Jeff, him lately?
You see the picture of him after we clinched the ACC title?
Yeah. I mean,
do the kids still say yoked? He's yoked.
He is. Yeah. No, I think Brohm, and I think, no offense to Pat, I think it would end quickly.
I'm going to say this. Pat Kelsey would beat the shit out of Dusty May.
Oh, my God.
Just curb fucking stomp him.
He really would.
I've just decided that I hate Dusty May now. Like, I'm done. I don't like his face. I don't like the way that he's too big of a bitch to coach here. I'm team Pat Kelsey now in this Dusty May rivalry.
My sister-in-law came in our house the other day. She's like, heard we hired your coach. I was like, God damn it. Okay, here we go. So, yeah, I would not mind I mean, first off, like, I want us to do well and for Dusty to, you know, not do well. But if, like, we both had success and somehow met later, that would be epic to me.
Travis says, is it a concern that he didn't parlay a great tenure at Winthrop into a bigger job than Charleston? Well, I mean, look, he took the UMass job in 2017. Wild story. Like, goes there, meets the players, you know, talks to everybody, spends the night up there. The next day is the press conference. And like 30 minutes before the press conference, he's like, I can't take this job. It's never, like, the full story has never really come out. He's talked about personal reasons. He just, whatever it was. All I know is the AD who he talked to, like, really respected it. He's like, I totally understand. And he went back to Winthrop. He ends up taking the Charleston job. And I know people have talked about his candidacy with other jobs. Like, somebody close to him has told me, and this may just be this person trying to hype this guy up and put this out there. Like, I think it's known that he was pursued by South Carolina last year and ultimately took himself out of that race. This person's like, he was pursued pretty heavily by West Virginia and Oklahoma State and let them know quickly that he was not going to be a candidate for those jobs because he felt like it wasn't a good fit. Again, that's not out there anywhere. I've got nothing to back that up. I'm choosing to believe it because I want to believe it. But his name has been tossed around with a couple of other jobs before. But maybe he was just waiting for a gig like Louisville. I don't know. He seems like a guy who just settles into a place and really likes it. He started that whole, like, Our City brand in Charleston, seemed to really embrace the whole community. I'm choosing to believe that that's why he's ended up here after a while. Let's see. Thomas says, can I get an apology from the fans who said that they were waiting for Dan Hurley? I don't know if anybody said that, but they shouldn't have been.
Dan Hurley.
Let's see. Our guy Logan Wade, who you mentioned earlier. Which ACC coach will be the first that Pat Kelsey gets into it with? I'm leaning Steve Forbes. Kind of depends on the schedule because he's – I think he can get into it with somebody pretty quick.
Yeah, it's like, who's our first home ACC opponent?
We have Andy Enfield now at US. As of today, he's in the league now. I can see him going after Jeff Capel. I can see that being a Capel goes at it with a lot of people. Forbes definitely is a safe bet. I mean, shit, he'll go at Brad Brown. I feel like Kelsey doesn't care. He's going to go after anybody. He already went after Dusty May.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be the nicest guy in the world.
I was going to say Brownell just because of the South Carolina thing. Maybe felt like an inferior complex at College of Charleston, but yeah, I don't know. I'm excited and ready to back him up.
CD says, who would be a big name assistant? Somebody like you, Luke Yaklich. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Yaklich was a guy who, remember him? He was a big time name when he was at Michigan, and he was the guy who a lot of people gave Beeline credit for. Like, he's like the defensive guru. And then he went down to Texas with Shaka Smart and was supposed to be his defensive guru. He finally got a head coaching job at Illinois Chicago and just got fired after like 4 years. It was not a great head coach, but he's a fantastic assistant. That would be a big time land. I don't know what his relationship with Kelsey is, if there is even is one, but that'd be good.
Maybe we'll pluck Luke Murray back.
Yeah, I mean, after back-to-back national titles, hey, come on back to the place where we ran you out of town.
Come on back, Luke. I'm sure he's not going to be mentioned for any head coaching jobs if they win again.
Yeah. Herman says, which My Morning Jacket song will Kelsey come out to for the press conference?
Oh, man.
Holiday?
Yeah, I mean, that we could do. I don't know. I have to think about this one. There's a couple of choices here.
Do you remember? So Matt Norlander did the thing where he broke down all the tournament coaches' favorite musician.
Yeah.
Do you remember who Kelsey's was?
No.
It was Jay-Z.
Oh, was it?
Which I respect.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like Dusty weird, May was, like, how old is Kelsey? Is he all right, or a little bit older?
I think he's 48.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking up his Wikipedia, and he coached as an assistant at Elder, like when we were at Trinity, and then we did play Elder in like a summer league game. I'm like, did this guy coach when I was playing them? But
did you just dive underwater? By the way, your voice just
oh
went
sorry
underwater.
We're here, but no, he coached at Elder for I think a season or two. around the same time frame I played basketball at Trinity. So I'm wondering if we cross paths in the summer league at some point.
I'll give you $50 if you drive down here and go to the press conference tomorrow and you're like, Dancing Hard CC podcast. Do you remember me? Remember me?
Oh God. Spark plug.
It's me. Hey, it's me. Came off the bench, 7 points.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that that's highly doubtful. Although the one time I know everyone wants to hear this. They're like, what the hell are they talking about? One of our good friends, Jason, the only time we played Elder in the summer league, got ejected from the game for throwing an elbow. I'm not going to lie. I was so jealous. I'm like, God damn, that's got to be awesome.
Key says, when's the next time that we will see the Reds win a playoff series? Over, under 2.5 years?
Under.
I'm so pessimistic about this season. Can I just say it real quick?
The spring is making everyone pessimistic, but we're going to be fine.
We're going to finish fourth in the Central. We won 35 one-run games last year. I'm expecting the worst.
Our pitching's too good. I'm sorry. If Lodolo pitches, I said this a couple of – if Lodolo pitches, Hunter Green is just – I know his spring wasn't great. He'll be good. I still have faith in Frankie, you know, and I think we added like Nick Martinez, I think is going to be pretty good. I think our starting pitching last year was such a dumpster fire and we still won, you know, what was it? 82 games. So
do you remember like four podcasts ago when I read your text to the group, when it was the second day of spring training and you were like, I've seen all I need to see. Well, we're going to finish. We're making the NLCS at the bare minimum. Since then, we've lost like six potential full-time starters.
I was
going
to say, we've had a 80-game suspension from our potential rookie of the year. We've had shoulder surgery from our budding star second baseman. I know I'm missing. Oh, yeah. Our best player last year, TJ Friedl, broke his wrist diving for a ball. So yeah, things seem a little hairy right now, but we have an easy schedule to start. We just gotta get through the first like 2 or 3 weeks, and then hopefully find our footing.
Louisville Basketball Watchdog says, "Can we all take a moment to just imagine Pat Kelsey in rivalry games? Could you imagine him going into Rupp in year one and beating Cal? It'd be the greatest thing of all time.
It really would. It would be, because I know like UK fans are like scoffing at this hire."
Oh yeah,
and God, that would be so fucking sick if he did that. Now, am I saying he's gonna do that? No, but yeah, it would be awesome.
I did love all the UK fans who were like, "You should hire Josh Schertz and not Richard Pitino. It'd be the dumbest thing in the world." We're like, "Oh right, oh really? Well, we're gonna hire the other guy that nobody's talking about."
Yeah,
fuck you guys.
Yeah. Oh God. I will say, very happy that Cal's sticking around. I'm not going to lie.
I love
that. Although I don't know who do you think they would have got to replace him? I don't think anyone would have satisfied that fan base.
I mean, Scott Drew probably, honestly, which would have been hilarious.
Yeah,
but that's the guy that they have paid. Like he and Mitch Barnhart are boys. They text their tickle buddies.
Scott Drew just lost his top assistant. So we
hate
we
to see that
dodged a. Somewhat of a bullet there, so
got that ass waxed by the ACC. Hate yeah, to see it. It did. Sorry, bud. Hope you enjoy the nightlife in Waco to come with you.
yeah,
all that 5-star dining in Waco, Texas.
Yeah, fucking Kelsey is gonna be at Gerstle's till 4 a.m. while you're fucking Waco.
I'm on the warpath. This is a cathartic moment for me. I've so much built up from this coaching search. I've talked so much. I'm so sick of hearing my fucking self talk. I'm so ready to just take some shots at some people. Fuck Dusty May. Fuck Scott Drew.
Oh, man.
I like Josh Schertz still. C. Wild says, if Pat Kelsey was a Saved by the Bell character, who would it be? Slater.
Yeah. I mean, he's got Slater's energy.
Is there like a support character?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. Like,
Ox?
All the sport characters are like nerd. Like maybe Rod Belding.
No, he'd never leave us like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Ox from the football team.
Well, that's rough.
Well, he's smarter, but he's still he's go.
Yeah. Well, we'll stick with Slater.
Okay. Wingdep says, any very early portal names to watch other than COC guys? I have no idea. Rain Smith in the portal would be a good one. The thing that sucks about it, doesn't suck, but like Charleston didn't have like a superstar player or two last year. Like their leading scorer averaged like 12.5 points per game. It was a really balanced team. So it's not like, you know, West Virginia goes and they hire Darian DeVries and they get his son, who's the two-time Missouri Valley Player of the Year and could play anywhere and all this stuff. Like Charleston had a bunch of good role players. It's why they were such a good team, but no like superstars that I think were going to be power conference transfers anyway. So if we get a few of those guys, it'll help, I think, for a variety of reasons, but it's not like this was a can't miss ACC first team type player. We're going to have to go out and get those types of players in addition to the Charleston guys, I think, if that's the way that it's going to work. But names, I mean, we're not there yet. Let's get through the introductory press conference before we start scouring the transfer portal. Let's see. Let's take a couple more. Samuel says, is it okay to be cautiously optimistic with the hire but exasperated at the process? Oh, 100%.
Yep.
100%. Anybody who's raising concerns about Josh Hurd and what transpired over the last couple of weeks, fully understand it. Like, this was not a flawless operation. I still say if this does wind up being a failed tenure with Pat Kelsey, I think you look back and you're like, man, identifying Dusty May as your second choice, letting the world know that you're identifying Dusty May as your second choice, and then not getting Dusty May when your competition is two lesser schools, like that's a terrible look. And then the Josh Schertz thing is totally bungled. You know, you have the death threat storyline tossed in there casually. It's all been, I get why people are lacking confidence right now. Is that fair?
What's your take on, and Jeff Goodman said this. He said basically that Josh Hurd waited throughout the Kenny Payne tenure out of respect to him, not to, you know, talk to anyone or do it until the end of his tenure. I understand, like, you know, Josh is, sounds like he's a stand-up moral guy, but geez, that sounds like a mistake.
I don't know. Like, when I first heard that, I was like, I'd heard that he'd waited to have formal conversations with head coaching candidates until like Kenny Payne was officially fired. I have to believe that he was at least, you know, doing some back channel stuff and talking to agents and kicking the tires on guys before that happened. If not, like, you know, you had a fucking year to get ready for this, right? You know,
right.
Like, you had to have at least acknowledged it as a, I know that he wanted Kenny Payne to work so well that he was going to warrant a third year. I think we all did. Or if it was like a perfect season, I would have been fine with a third year. But you had to have at least known that this was a strong possibility. And then when things went sideways, basically immediately this year, that's when you needed to be doing all your due diligence. So, you know, stuff coming to light about, you know, Dusty May, not a guy who really likes the limelight. Maybe he prefers, like we've heard that stuff for months. Like, you had to have been prepared for that. And it kind of seemed like a lot of the stuff just, I don't know. Again, from the outside looking in, just, I think there was stuff told to reporters, to agents that probably didn't need to be shared and that got out there that shouldn't have gotten out there. And it felt a little too loose. And I'll say it for the billionth time, like, I like Josh a lot. But I get why a lot of fans are kind of questioning things, right? Like, it feels like that's it. Like, this has been an exhausting process. It seems like, you know, there's just some weird stuff that's happened that shouldn't have happened at a place like Louisville. If it all ends well, then that's fine. If Pat Kelsey winds up doing a fantastic job, then this will mostly be forgotten. But if he doesn't, then it's certainly going to get brought up. And I think that at the end of the day, like, this is the hire that defines Josh Hurd's tenure. And if it works, he's good to go. If it doesn't, it's probably going to wind up costing him his job. It sounds brutal, but this is Louisville. You can't make two really, really bad men's basketball hires and survive it.
You're right, but in the same breath, and I like Josh a lot, and I want him to do well, but, like, I won't forget, like, how this process went. Like, it's a black mark. Like, whether he's successful or not, because
I agree.
I everything played out for us. And it looked like a man without a plan. And that's a little bit worrisome if he's your AD. Like, to me, without being behind closed doors. Like, I really can't judge too much. It seems like he needs to maybe close his inner circle a little bit. And, you know, maybe kind of, I don't know, I shouldn't say this is a casual who doesn't do his job, but maybe learn from this coaching search when, you know, he's, whenever the next job comes up. Hopefully, my God, hopefully there's never a coaching search, like, at least for men's basketball, but, like, you know, Jeff Walls, Dan McDonald, you know, whoever. Like, hopefully we don't have any more coaching searches for a while, because I cannot do another coaching search.
Keep in mind that we had two basketball coaches in the men's program for basically a half century. Like, our entire lifetimes, you, me, most people listening, it was just Denny Crum and Rick Pitino. Since we've been doing this podcast, which doesn't feel like it's been that long, this is what, like, number five? You know, we had Mac, we had Pegues, we had Payne. I guess this is number four.
Well, I mean,
four.
We had Satterfield and Brom.
Well, those searches, I was talking about just the basketball
program.
Oh,
okay, gotcha.
But yeah, you have two football searches there. It's basically felt like we've been in a coaching search for basketball for like three consecutive years, because the second that we lose to Lenoir Ryan, it's like, okay, who's next? Like, we just did this, but this isn't going to go well. Let's talk about other candidates. So yeah, I'm ready for just, people are always like, oh, this is great for radio, I'm sure. No shortage of stuff to talk about. I'm like, I'm fucking ready to stop talking about this stuff. I'm ready to just talk about normal things again. I want to talk about bracketology and ACC tournament double buys and all that stuff. I mean, I left the house on like the height of the shit on Monday when everyone's like, what the fuck's going on? I didn't make it to the stop sign at the end of my road before I'd been stopped three times by people to talk about the coaching search. I was like, and I love my guy, Dennis, who lives two doors down from me. I'm like walking by. He's awesome. Awesome guy. He's a huge U of L fan. And he's like, I know I'm the last motherfucker you want to see right now. And I was like, it's all good, man. Don't worry about it. What do you want? Let's talk about it. And then I see a couple other guys that are like, hey, what are we going to do? Who's it going to? I'm like, here we go. Like, but it's just, I'm ready for this to be done. I'm glad that we have our guy. It wasn't somebody who I had. If you'd asked me to rank my top five candidates at the start of this whole thing, just being honest, Pat Kelsey's not in the top five. But at the end of the day, like, we're all just guessing. Who, like, the guys who would have been in my top five, they would have been big guesses as well. Kelsey's certainly a guess. We just have to hope that we guess right. And if nothing else, I find comfort in the fact that we're bringing in somebody here who's going to work his absolute ass off, who's going to give his all to this program, who I think is going to endear himself to the city. And the fact that we have a ton of NIL money to work with. And people keep asking that question, like, is it still even with Kelsey? Yes. The 502 circle, the NIL, the collectives, they're going to have him with a $3 to $4 million pool to work with. He'll be able to get players. If he knows what to do with them, if his staff knows what to do with them, we should be able to hit the ground running. Now, whatever your definition of that is, I don't know. I want to be above 500 next year. I want to be a 500 team at the very worst. I want to play a competent brand of basketball, and I want proof beyond the shadow of a doubt that what this guy is going to do is going to work at the highest level possible once he gets his feet set, once we get our players in, once he gets his culture established, all that stuff in like year three, four. I want to know that we're going to be back to being Louisville. And I think he can show us that in year one by just being competitive in the ACC. If he flirts with the NCAA tournament, that's cool. If he makes the NCAA tournament, that's fantastic. If we're like top 25, good. Boner jams. But like, just let us know that this is going to work. I think you knew right away with Kenny Payne, at least you should have known right away with Kenny Payne. Yeah, the players aren't who he wants. Yeah, he can get better guys in here. Yeah, it's his first year. But if you go 4-28 and you look the way that we look and you have this deer in the headlight look on the sidelines every single game, like, you had to have known right there. Like, we're never going to win a national title with this guy. I want to feel, watching Pat Kelsey coach for a full season, that when this gets to its peak, when this gets to the best it can possibly be, that we're going to be national title good. And I think you can't know that for sure, probably in just a single season sample size, but you can have an idea. And I'm excited, man. I'm really eager to see how this thing works out. I'm eager for the months ahead to see who we're going to get on this roster. I'm excited to hear him talk publicly and, you know, do some radio shows, get out there, meet people in the city. I think it's going to be fun. I really do.
I think this guy is going to be so visible. And it's going to be such a breath of fresh air. And I think that's probably one of the reasons Josh really liked him was his communication skills after what we went through. I think that's going to be, I mean, to Louisville fans, like, obviously winning is by far the most important, no doubt. But, like we've said in every podcast, this job requires a little bit more than just winning. You have to endear yourself to the fan base, the community. And I think this guy, in that sense, is going to be a home run. The winning, we can cross our fingers, hope, and pray, but I would be shocked if the first part didn't work out.
I'm with you. And at this point right now where we are, I'm not going to say it's all you can ask for. We could have hoped for something a little bit more of a sure thing, but for one, I'll take it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm willing to go into this thing with an open mind and to be hopeful. Before we end this, do have to remind you guys, Home Field Apparel, they've got the best March Madness deals, the best March Madness apparel. They've got their new shooting shirts out there. They sponsor the podcast. We love them. We own their gear. We rock their gear. Dan's got the bomber jacket. It's fantastic. I've got a ton of hoodies from Home Field Apparel, both for Louisville and some other colleges. They've got over 150 colleges to choose from. Their new lines are coming out every single week. Follow them on social media channels. Sign up for their newsletter to keep up with the latest releases. And use our promo code CHRONICLE15 at checkout to save 15% on that first offer. Our guys over there at Home Field Apparel, homefieldapparel.com. All right, Dan, do you have a parting thought? We just want to get out of here.
My parting thought is, I was thinking about this. I'll never forget when Chris Mack was hired, your first radio interview with him. You asked him the cliche, what do you order from Skyline? Please, I'm begging you. Are you going to ask Pat Kelsey the same question? What do you order from Skyline?
I don't even remember asking him that. Did I really?
No, I'll never forget it. I was driving back from the Masters, and you're like, what's your Skyline order? I was like, oh, my God, Mike.
Don't remember. I mean, I believe you. I'll do it again. I'll
keep the tradition alive.
His Skyline order. He's a Reds fan, too. I feel good about it. We've got more. Didn't work out great last time, but I think what wasn't Mac was like a Cincinnati St. X guy, right?
Yeah, he was. He was.
Moeller.
He was from like the east part of town, I think. I don't know. Like, I think Kelsey, that he's got some West Siders in his family, and to me, those are the true Cincinnatians.
I did like somebody who was like, he looks like he already fits in south. Like, I can see Pat Kelsey being a point guard at like DeSales. Like, he's got the buzz cut going. He's got that mentality about him. I think he's going to fit in pretty well here. Like, I think he should be. I think he's a guy who could fit in with all the different parts of town, which is not something that you can say for a lot of people because Louisville is insanely different.
Wake up tomorrow. It's like Pat Kelsey has backed out of his contract.
I mean, you joke. There's a part of me that's been like, just wait until we get to three.
I know 100%. I'm like, maybe we should just let him get to the podium.
We're like, so Richard. Richard's like, don't even fucking think about it.
Oh, God.
It's not going to happen. We're going to be good. It's going to be fine. The new era starts tomorrow. I know some people are apprehensive, I know other people are optimistic. Hopefully we all can go into this with an open mind. Hopefully we're all on the same page once we get to November and this team is winning basketball games and it feels like old times again. I'm excited for whatever's next. I'm just ready for the page to be turned, and that happens tomorrow. Whatever happens, we're going to be here keeping track of it on the podcast, trying to have some fun all summer, all fall, all winter. We'll talk to you guys pretty soon. I'm sure we'll have some reaction as the week goes on. Go Cards. Go Reds.
We're back, baby. Go Cards and Reds.